Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we this morning?
Outstanding.
Fantastic. Well, I want to welcome you to church this morning. If you've just tuned in on our online service, I want to give you a warm welcome. My name is Marichelle and I'm part of the team here, and I'm really excited to share God's word with you today. So as you can see, I've had a bit of a thing there. My last, the last life skills for youth. Yes, we just wanted to do something funny and everything. And I, one of the passion that I have is food. Okay, so food, I love to cook it and I love to serve it. And then I get my joy by seeing people eat it. So that's one of the, I guess, giftings that I have. And so I'm going to hopefully be able to teach the young generation or the youth of today how to cook, because who knows, if you don't cook, you don't eat. Yeah, so that's good. Well, in that church news, I just want to highlight something with you. When we talked about the Good Friday, so we're hosting a lunch. What a privilege it is as a church to host a lunch for the lost and lonely. And we've called this the Good Feed Project. So we're thankful for the Lord Mayor's Charitable Trust has given us some money to, and it's the first time we're going to do it, so I'm really excited. Are you excited?
Yeah.
Because you know what? What are you going to do on Good Friday? You're just going to go home, probably laze around the couch, you know, eat some food, eat some chocolate, sleep, which is always a good thing, right? But wouldn't it be a great thing to spread the good news of Jesus by showing the people in our community and loving on them, you know, about what Good Friday, about Easter message is all about. So I'm really excited about that. So if you are here today and if you're online, you can always text us or email us. But there is, on your way at the auditorium, there's a table there, and we're splitting it into three categories. So one is the service team, hospitality team, and connections team. So out of those categories, obviously there's some things that you can do. It's not just, you know, so let's say, for example, service team could, it's not only about cleaning, but it's also about security. So there's many things that people can do. So put your hand up and or put your name down on that sheet of paper. And can I just say, if you put your name down on that category, it's not always that you're going to get that particular job. So if I could just say that. So we're all in it together, all hands on deck, because we want to show the community the love of Jesus. Okay? Is that a good thing? Yes, that's going to be a good thing that day. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about the good thing, the good news of Jesus. So, you know, this morning we've talked about all the good things we're doing, you know, the life skills and for the youth and so many other things that we're doing as a church. And, but I want to take a moment to stir you by way of reminder that we have good news in a bad news world.
Yeah.
We have good news in a bad news world. We have good news in a busted up and messy world. But we got to understand that for news to be good, it has to invade bad spaces. For good news to occur, it has to invade places where there is fear, there is darkness, there's loneliness, there's anxiety, and some of the bad things that go on. So for us to fully understand and wrap around our minds about the good news, we have to first understand there is bad news.
Yes.
You only need to turn the TV on and there's bad news. Very rare that you will hear some good news. Correct? So have you ever turned, even, you know, like someone's either shooting somebody or robbing a bank or robbing, a food shop or anything like that? And it's just horrendous. the youth crime of today and all the bad things that happen around our world. You know, it doesn't have to be here locally, but it's also overseas, the bad things that happen there. But I don't know about you, but did you ever get a phone call, a missed phone call from a relative or a friend, and you miss the call and you go, wonder what that call is about? Or our first thought when we go to the doctors to get a checkup and they say to you, I need you to go to a specialist because there's something that I found that you weren't expecting. Yeah. Our mind goes straight to the bad. I don't know if you had the experience in opening up the front door where a police person comes in front of you and say, I want you to go, there's an accident and I want you to identify the body. Or you hopped in your car and all of a sudden it wouldn't start. And you know in your mind that it'll cost you thousands of dollars to get it fixed. And you go, ka-ching, ka-ching, would I buy another car or would I just fix it? Either or, bad news. Because you weren't prepared for that. You didn't save up for that. You got to figure out, okay, where am I going to get the money from? In this room, I'm sure if I gave you the microphone that you'll be able to share some of the bad news you've probably heard. I know in any one of those cases that I've just read out, I've experienced all of them. So we as Christian people, followers of God, we're not immune from getting bad news. We need to just because you're a Christian or a God follower, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be skipping that. So I want to talk to you today, leading up to Easter. We are going to come and proclaim, announce, declare the good news of Jesus. We're going to do that. So you don't have to worry that every time you come to church in the next few weeks, that it will be bad news. No, we're going to declare the good news, the gospel of Jesus. And sometimes we go, oh, gee, that's pretty basic. No, let us not get lost to the fact that the good news is still very much alive today. And that we as people of God need to understand that there is still good news, that we are the good news people. So I want to encourage you to bring a friend. It's going to be all over social media, the good feed, all of the Easter services that we're going to have. Bring a friend. I promise you there's nothing weird that's going to happen. Because you know what? It's a way of us welcoming the Easter story to the people out there. And to share the story of Easter, which is the best news of all time. So the good news, it's pivotal and it's the centrality, the message of Easter is that Jesus died on the cross. Yes. He rose again. He canceled our sins. Yeah. He forgave us. He rescued us. He reconciled us. He redeemed us. Yeah. He restored us. He rebuilds us. Yes. He renews us, refreshes us, reestablishes us. Yeah. Revive us, resurrect us. Yes. I don't know if, I think I ran out of ours. But you get the gist, right? That Jesus came to do all those things. And some of you here today, while I was praying about this message, is that some of you perhaps are just going through the motion of Christianity. The motion of, yes, I know it in my head that Jesus, you know, died and he rose again and yes, he's forgiven all my sin. But I wonder whether you know this in your heart. Because more often than not, you know, we do the good things, you know, we read our Bible, we go to church, we tithe, we serve, we do all sorts of things. But I wonder, do you have that awe of sense, the sense of awe of thinking, God, good news. of great joy has come, not just for you, but for all people. For all people. And if you are one of those people today that just feel like you're spiritually empty or you're spiritually dead, can I just say to you today that God wants to resurrect that in your life. He wants to fill you afresh. He wants to just revive those things that are dead in your life. He wants to remind you the good news. So the good news, it is not just good news to some people, but to all people. In all classes of people, in all walks of life. It is not just for one nation or country or a particular political party or one race or one city or region. He is the God that saves all. No one is left behind. All those who are far from God can come near. He is everything for everybody, everywhere, every time, in every way. And His name is Jesus. He is the good news. He is the good shepherd. And I want to just tell you today that God loves you. God is absolutely in love with you. You will never be able to measure His love. It says in the Bible that it's neither, you know, it's the height, the depth, the width. You know, you can't measure it. Sometimes we measure people's loves toward us. You can't measure God's love. God's love is huge, insurmountable, you know. He is not shaken. He is not perturbed by the things that have happened in your life. But He loves you anyway. He's not mad at you, but He's mad about you. We need to start treating Christianity like good news instead of simply good advice. We need to start treating Christianity like good news instead of good advice. It is not advice. It is good news. And you and I are living in a day, an age where we're going to have to be discerning enough to what we hear and what we're being led to. We have to decide whether or not this is the kind of faith the same as ours. Because there's a lot of things out there. There's a lot of good news out there that seem palatable, that seem really good. But if it's in any way adds or takes away from the purity of the gospel of God, then it is not good news. We are going to have some spiritual boldness in this day and age to be unashamed about the good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to have some fortitude and spiritual meat on our bones that this day and age, it's not time for wimps, okay? It's not time for you hiding around the corner and being ashamed of the good news, because you are here today because someone shared the good news of Jesus to you. You know, yes, your parents might have grown up, you know, in a Christian home, but someone has shared and you've heard the good news of Jesus. And today, I want to share one of the good news that Jesus did for us, and I want to talk about redemption. Redemption. Jesus redeemed us. You know, when you repent, now that's an old-fashioned word that we don't really hear anymore, do we? When you repent, you know what repentance is? Repentance is a change of mind and heart that leads to a change in our action and behavior. It's turning away. Repentance. So when you repent, so not if, but when, and at any stage, at any time, can I encourage you? Repentance is not just a one-off thing. It's a daily thing. Practice repenting every day. It is it's not scary. You just say, God, I'm sorry I did it again. I'm sorry that I did this again. Please help me to turn away, to have a change of mind, to have a change of action and behavior. So when you repent and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, each and every one of us here will be redeemed. If you don't remember anything I say today, I want you to remember that you have been redeemed. Redeemed, what does that really mean? That's like, that's another old word that we don't really use, right? It's not one of our top 10 lists of words that we kind of, in our vocabulary, that we say each day, I've been redeemed. Redeemed. It's about someone paying a price so high that can never be repaid. How do we apply being redeemed in our lives? We all live a life of freedom. And if I can tell you anything today, that you are free. You are free. You have been freed because of what Jesus has done on the cross. The definition of redemption is about paying a price to purchase something or to pay a ransom. Is what I love about it. It says to buy back something that has been lost, or having been saved or delivered from sin or its consequence. It's all about an act of redeeming or atoning for a fault or a mistake, or delivering you and rescuing you. This is what redemption says. God says, God will buy back the bad for good. God will buy back the bad for good. God can buy back the worst season of your life. And he can turn it around into such praise, into such testimony, into such word of hope for somebody else, so that he will be glorified. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says this, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. So I want to just break this down for you a little bit, okay? When Paul says that we have redemption through his blood, he's talking about the price that Jesus paid for our redemption. The ransom has been paid with the Savior's very life. But looking at that scripture, it also says that the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. When he redeems us, we are released from the bondage of sin and death. When God forgives us, he sends away the penalty that stands against us, releasing us from its grip on us. The good news is that God both redeems and forgives through the death of Jesus. It is the Easter message. You know, Easter nowadays, people just say, I have an extra holiday. Or, you know, it's a time where I go on, you know, just binge around or whatever and go on with my friends and family, whatever. But the Easter message is all about the good news. Yeah. It's not about the chocolate or the Easter bunny that now is so commercialized. Can we have the centrality back, the fact that the Easter is all about new life? It's about restoration. It's about reconciliation. It's about redemption. It's about rescuing us. It's about redeeming us. Yeah. That is the centrality of what the message of good news is in Easter. I want you to think about this week, how valuable Jesus was to God. Meditate on it. How much did it really cost for God to redeem us? How much would you pay? $100? $500? $1,000? No, it says that you can't pay it back. It cost the very life of his son. For God so loved the world. For God so loved you that he gave his one and only son, the darling of heaven, so that he can rescue you. He can redeem you. Psalm 49, 7 and 8 says this: no one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough. Without Jesus, we could never be saved. He alone is our hope and our salvation. And I want you today to know that we can live in that redemption. Living by the power of redemption, understand that Jesus appeared as our substitute and did what nobody else could do. Christ crucified and resurrected. And it's our only means for freedom from sin and eternal life. That is good news today. I am so glad. Aren't you glad that you don't have to die on the cross? Aren't you glad that you don't have to go through the torment and the trauma of all of it? God, I thank you every day. And this is what I had to sort of this week, to just stop and pause and go, you know what, God, let me never forget the price you paid so I can be here today. Because sometimes we forget, we take it for granted. Colossians 1, 13, 14 says this: for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I know there's a lot of scripture, but this is pure gospel, pure good news. Because I can tell you about all the things that in my intellect, which is very narrow, and perceptions, but I want to read to you the word, the very word of God, because that's where freedom is. So today I want to give you three attributes of living redeemed. Ready? I know there is more, but I don't want to overwhelm you today. I want to keep it simple. Okay, because I want you to remember. Okay, three attributes of living redeemed. First one is redeemed people walks by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says this: for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, and so that no one can boast. You know, because I grew up as a Catholic, okay? So in the culture that I grew up in, that we actually do works really well, especially on Easter time. If you've ever been to other countries, or I'm going to talk about Philippines because that's where I'm from. At Easter time, you know, especially they call it the Passion Week or the Holy Week, a week before Easter, we would do all sorts of things like penances so that we can feel the heart of God, so that we can be close to God. We never really understood that God did it all, that Jesus did it all for us. So, you know, we will have things like, you know, kneeling on and kneeling, like just kind of, how do you do kneeling and walking at the same time? I don't know, but it, crawling, but on your knees, right, to the altar. You will have people have crosses ready to, like, kind of crucify you. This is for real. Yeah. Okay, you have people who, you know, the banana leaves, they will, like, whip themselves in their back as a point of saying that, you know, I need to be sorry for my sins. All sorts of things. And I was just like, God, why do we have to do that when you've done it all? And it is sobering to see, because, I mean, I grew up with that, and seeing that again last year, because last year we went around Easter time or beginning of Easter in the Philippines, and I saw, like, people wailing and yelling and all sorts of stuff. And I said, Jesus died to make you free. Can I say that to you today? No amount of good works, okay, no amount of penances or, you know, Hail Marys or whatever that you can say or utter to gain God's approval. You are approved, you are redeemed, you are free today. And I want to say that to you today because sometimes we just get like lost. We get so ingrained by the things that the to-do list and not just to be. God wants you just to be. To be secure in the fact that Jesus, the good news, has redeemed you. Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We don't have to have guilt or shame anymore. So for those of you who feel guilty or shame by the past or anything like that, get rid of that. Get rid of that right now. Because you have been made free. When you repent, it's gone. Okay? When you repent and you say, I'm sorry, God, please forgive me. God says, oh no, I'll hide that from you until you remember again. No, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free, no longer to be bound by slavery of your sin. I have redemption through the blood of Jesus. There will be times where you won't feel redeemed. Anyone, any friends out there? Yeah. There'll be times where, you know, the enemy will come knocking. I know what you did. The enemy will try and remind you of the things that you've done. But you just got to say, no, I've been brought by the blood of the Lamb. I've been made free. I've been set free. So walking by faith means even though you might not be able to see the whole picture, you might not even feel redeemed. Can I encourage you that you just have to keep on moving? It's like going to work. Sometimes you don't feel like going to work, but you still have to keep moving. Yes. It's like, you know, going outside and hopping in your car. You have faith that that thing's going to start. You still, you know. So I just want you to know that you have to keep moving. There is now no condemnation. No condemnation. I want you to be set free today. Don't walk like you are a God follower. Walk as if your head is held high. Don't walk around like you're sucking lemons. No one's going to be attracted of that. You know the good news? People in the world, the community, wants to see the difference that you have. But if you're walking around all sad and miserable, why would they want to hear the good news? There's got to be something different. There's got to be something a little bit joyous about you. Smile. We've got to smile in a sad world. Otherwise, you'll go insane. You know, there's this old song that, I don't know, it just kind of, I was preparing this message and maybe the mature age people will know about this song. And it's kind of like, I don't know where it came from, but it's probably come from the reservoir of my gut, I'm not sure. But it's called like, I've Been Redeemed. Do you know that song?
Oh, come on, sing it.
Can you be my backup?
Yeah.
Okay, ready? TJ, can you? It goes something like this, so I don't know about my tone, but it goes, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Saved and seen, and I know I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Okay, maybe another thing. Do it again. Yeah, go, come on. Okay, let's just sing. Let's just have some fun, right? Let's just declare this today that you've been redeemed. I know there's different, different lyrics and what have you, but let's just declare this today over our life, right? Okay, ready? You can be my backup singer, yeah?
Okay, I've been redeemed.
I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Saved from sin, and I know I am. All my sins are taken away. Praise the Lord. Listen to that again. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed, and I know I am. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Saved from sin, and I know I am.
A hand. You know, it's okay to have fun in church. We don't have to be solemn. It's sacred. But we can have fun.
Yeah.
Don't have to be miserable. You don't have to sleep. I'm watching you guys. Wake up. There is good news to be heard. I'm just like, please. Good news. Good news. You're being redeemed. So second thing, redeemed people pray. Yeah, very simple, right? But you've been redeemed, pray. Pray again. It's not a once-off thing that you just said, oh, God, oh, yeah, I need something. Or like I remember, I always pray whenever there's no petrol in the car. Oh, please, Lord, I do the bargaining thing. I go, please, Lord, if you just can get me to work, you know, I will serve you all the days of my life. It's so dramatic. But it is like I go, there's like 12 kilometers, you know, the 12 thing. And I don't know why I do that. And I know I've turned a new leaf and I try not to, especially, you know, but, you know, sometimes that sin still kind of creeps back in. But, yeah, so I pray. So you know what? The enemy uses people, situations, events in our lives to whisper lies and create doubts. He did this, like even in the beginning with Adam and Eve. Remember that story? But I need you to remember that walking in victory is not what the enemy wants for us. Rather, he seeks our defeat. He doesn't want us to live an empowered life, a redeemed life. He doesn't want us to be using our giftings and our callings and our purposes. He wants us to be downtrodden. He wants us to be sad. Lamentations 3, verse 55 to 59 says this. I called your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ears to my cry for relief. You came near when I called you, and you said, do not fear. You, Lord, took up my case, and you redeemed my life. I don't know where there's a moment in your life where you just feel so alone and you feel so, you're in pit and you can't get out and you feel like you're drowning, overwhelmed with sorrow. And you just say, Jesus, help. He hears you. His ears are not too deaf to hear the cry and plea. Some of you here are waiting so long for a prayer that you have uttered so many times, and sometimes you just get tired of saying the same thing. Can I just say to you that it's on its way? That you don't sort of go, well, you know, this slowness. And we prayed that this year, that the things that are hard will become, you know, accelerated. That the things that are slow will become quick. And we pray that for each and every one of you today. So do not lose heart. Keep praying for the people that you want to come back. Yes. Not to church, but to come back to Jesus. To come back to Jesus. Thank Jesus for the ultimate sacrifice, for the greatest victory ever won. Jesus defeated death, for defeating sin and defeating the enemy once and for all. We need to live in eager expectation. And the last point I want to talk about today is that redeemed people rebuild others. This is a clear picture for us. And we sort of used the scripture when we talked about the series of favor. It says in Luke 4:18-19, says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released and the blind will see. The oppressed will be set free, and the time of the Lord's favor has come." You know, this is what's so exciting about the Good Feed project that we're doing on Good Friday, because redeemed people, that's you and I, are rebuilding others. You don't know who's going to come in on that day, but I tell you that they have a story. That each story, like, feels like overwhelming, but you know what? There's a greater story that you can tell them. Yes. That's the good news.
Yeah.
And you are the people that's been anointed by God to bring good news to the poor. Never ever forget that you are not only redeemed, but you are also anointed. It doesn't have to be like, you don't have to know all the scriptures. All you got to know is that Jesus died for you. And Jesus rose again on the third day so that you can have eternal life. We are the salt and light of the world. And one of the reasons that God has redeemed us, because our story is part of rebuilding others. I'm sure that each and every one of us today has a story. Galatians 3:14 says this: "He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." Now, God redeemed you and I to not just enjoy the blessings and the benefits, but God redeemed us from the curse to be part of helping other people. Let's be others focused. Let's not be inward. Let us think about the people that we can invite for Easter. Let us not just keep the good news to ourselves. The good news is too good to keep to ourselves. Psalm 107:2-3 says this: "Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south." I don't know what your testimony is, but for me, Jesus has done too much for me to be embarrassed about who he is. Jesus has delivered me from too much to be embarrassed about who he is. He changed my life in so many ways. He has sustained me and kept me and redeemed me, and he has kept me in my right mind. If I just look back even just a couple of years ago, and I'm sure most of you would probably feel the same way. If you just look back on where you were and how God calmed your fears, he led you beside still waters. He reminded you to not be afraid. He gave you strength and grace and energy to make it through another day. He did that all for us. To juggle the things that's in your life. You see, most of you do not know my story. Maybe one day I'll write a book. I think it's going to be a bestseller. Not for my glory, but for God. Because if I tell you the things that a little girl A four-year-old girl should not have seen, should have not experienced, should have not done. Or as a teenager, for what she had to go through, your head would roll. But all I want you to know today is that the person that stands here today, 49 years of age, is not the same person as she was, because God redeemed me. All I want you today, all I want you to know today, is that the very thing that was set to destroy me actually propelled me for where I am today. Because you see, God had a plan, and I believe God has a plan for each and every one of you. You have a story. It says, let the redeemed people tell their story. And you know what? The story that you could tell everybody every day is that the good news of Jesus Christ, that He redeemed you, He saved you from your sin, He saved you from being destroyed. You see, I had to learn to fix my eyes on Jesus, the one that rescued me, redeemed, restored, reconciled, rebuild me, refresh me, reestablish me, and He's still going. And He is doing that with you too. You know, God loves you too much to leave you the way you are. And you might think to yourself, how many more do I have to suffer? This thing is like, what character building? What do you want me to do? But can I just say that God wants you to learn to trust Him, to lean on Him, to not do things out of your own intellect or to do things out of your own. He wants you to lean on Him. The bad habits, the addictions. For our online people, you have a story to tell. You have trauma. You have some story. But can I just say to you that God loves your story? God loves your story because He's going to use that to be His story. Philippians says this in 1:6. And I am certain that God who began the good work within you will carry it into completion until the day when Jesus Christ returns. Remember what I said in the beginning, what redemption is? It's to buy back the bad for good. And Jesus is going to do that for you. And that's good news. Our history does not have to define our destiny. It's not a Christian cliche. I'm living proof. I'm living proof. We can live a life beyond our past because of what Jesus did. Because of what Jesus did. And today I just want to tell you that God loves you. God loves you. He wants the best for you. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to have a sound mind. You are the best story out there for all the bad news that we have. So make sure that we live a life that's redeemed. The life that we once lived, that's no more. It's been crucified with Christ. Live like you know. Not just in your head, but in your heart. I want to just sing a song. I don't know, maybe some of you know this song. You can sing along, or you can just listen to the words. Because it's all about what Jesus did for us.
What the
Father God, that you have given your Son Jesus for us to know that we have been redeemed. We celebrate the fact that we can stand redeemed today. One, to give Jesus a clap offering, to know that you have been redeemed, that you have been set free, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't need to struggle, you don't need to do anything, but to lean and rest in the power of God. Thank you, Jesus.
A sing what can wash away my sins, come on.
Experience the good news. If you're not right with God today and you need to repent, I'm going to take this opportunity right now to give you that invitation that God is so much loves you. He loves you. He wants the best for you. And so today, you can turn it around, because you know what the promise of God says, that he's going to buy back the things that you've lost for good. So today, while all heads are bowed, no one looking around, all eyes are closed, I want you to just say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that I am redeemed. I thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that was spilled that day to forgive my sins. Father God, I repent. I turn away from the things that does not honor you. Help me, Lord Jesus, to live a life of freedom each day. Thank you for your help. Holy Spirit, help me to live a life that's redeemed. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Thank you. I hope that in your heart today, that the good news is very much alive. The good news of redemption, and I can't wait for the next thing that we're going to tell you about next week is that it's good news. So why don't you bring along a friend? Why don't you bring your neighbor and tell them it's good news? Good news of great joy for all the people. Amen. Well, amen. Well, thank you so much to our online family for coming and tuning in with today. I hope that blesses you today. For our people that are in-house, thank you. Hospitality is open, and I'd like to invite you to make some connections and connect with people. Make sure if you're new today, grab a cup of coffee and share with someone today. Amen. Thank you.